Another of St. Thomas Aquinas' arguments for God's existence begins from the observation in nature that some things seem to act for certain ends or goals, even though they don't have reason or intelligence. We humans always act with some goal in mind, even if it's frivolous or small, a goal which is desirable in some way, or we wouldn't be doing it. For example, when in a given moment I get up out of my seat, it's to go get a drink of water to quench my thirst. Even when I sin, even though what I'm doing is wrong, there is still some pleasure or partial good that I'm aiming for when I act. It's not hard to see why we do this. We have reason. We can foresee goods that are necessary for our existence and flourishing and happiness or enjoyment, and so we act. But what about a tree, a mosquito, even an ape? They behave in certain fixed ways always or almost always. They do what is necessary for their existence and achieve certain goals. It is why we classify them as the types of things they are in the first place. Traditionally, we would say that the ends they pursue are determined by their specific natures. Think of a tree's tendency to put out roots, pull in water, create sap, put out leaves and fruit, and so forth. If a tree didn't do these things, it would be considered defective. Or perhaps you've seen the viral video on the internet of a baby beaver raised in captivity creating a dam-like wall in the house out of stuffed animals. This is a great illustration of the nature of the beaver directing it to accomplish what in normal conditions would be for its flourishing. It is totally unaware what this action accomplishes and why it is good, but it is impelled to do it. So while creatures can act in this seemingly rational way, they don't have reason to direct their wills. The presence of reason or intellect, and not just instinct or cleverness, is indicated by certain phenomena, like the ability to self-reflect, to consider abstract ideas, to create art and culture. We only see this in man. We do not see this in plants or even the most clever of animals. We don't see monkey poetry or the philosophical musings of a chipmunk. In fact, we're immensely impressed when what we consider the highest of animals, like dogs, monkeys, or dolphins, seem to engage in what appears to be the most rudimentary kind of communication or problem solving. And yet, even without reason, they almost always accomplish the same ends that are proper to the kind of creature that they are, as if they had reason. Now, imagine you see arrow after arrow flying past you and hitting a bullseye always or almost always. Would you conclude that the arrow is directing itself and that there is no archer directing it? Of course not. We know there must be an archer. An arrow can't direct itself. And yet we don't make this connection when we see all around us, constantly, every day, creatures that are nearly always tending toward and accomplishing things that they and their fellow creatures have been tending toward and accomplishing ever since their kind existed. Well, St. Thomas concludes that there actually is reason present in the actions of the tree, the mosquito, the beaver, the ape. But it is not their reason. It is the divine reason that directs them to their ends. And this not by some external force, but by the creation of their particular natures, which make them tend toward certain goals, the accomplishment of which lead to the flourishing of that creature. This guiding reason is present in a more eminent way on the macro level, when we see how the interaction between various creatures accomplishes further and higher ends outside of the good of each of the particular creatures for the good of the ecosystem or the entire planet. So it's clear that much of nature acts in predictable and rational ways. After all, this is the basic assumption that makes science even possible. Furthermore, this is the case even though no creature except man has the use of reason to direct itself. So there must be a divine governance of the world that directs each particular thing to its proper end, as well as directing the universe as a whole to its end. And this divine governor is what we call God.